What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast back for season 5. Coming up, we make a series of predictions for the new campaign ahead and then spend 9 months rowing back on them all. Ready to feel embarrassed? Come May and powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. How about that new intro music, listener? Or maybe you're joining us for the first time. If so, you are very welcome. We have a weekly chat about all things Football League. This one might be reaching you as early as a Wednesday. Our plan for the new season is to release our shows on a Friday. We thought that would be the best way to round up the midweek action and look ahead to the weekend's game. So that's to come in the new season. But as I say, you might be new here. If so, let me introduce myself. My name is Matt Davis Adams, and every week I catch up with two of my podcasting pals to talk through everything that's happening in the always wonderful world of the EFL. I've got Adrian Clark alongside me. Adrian played in the EFL for Rotherham, Southend and Carlisle. He's now a tactical guru, a co-commentator par excellence, podcast royalty and a YouTube sensation. Clarky, how have you summered?
YouTube sensation. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I've loved it. I've had a great summer. I mean, this is not EFL related, but the team I support were champions, and then the sun has just shone the rest of the summer. I don't think it's a coincidence, and I've enjoyed not really doing too much work, but that does mean that I'm actually quite hungry. I'm hungry for the new season. I've been booked for a couple of games this weekend. I'm going to Middlesbrough Saturday, going to Cardiff on Monday, and I cannot wait.
All right, I think we're going to hear more about Middlesbrough as we roll on here. Adrian's partner in crime on this podcast rattled in a century of EFL goals in a career which took in the likes of Swindon, Luton, Walsall, Leighton Orient, Ipswich, Northampton, Oldham and Millwall. He can now be heard and seen across Sky Sports and the British Broadcasting Corporation. It's Sam Parkin. How are you doing, Sam?
Really good. Yeah, great summer. Got married. The World Cup was good, but it didn't reach those levels, I would say, of excitement for me, partly because I didn't make many of the games. The schedule was tough. With small kids and the unbearable heat and a couple of daytime beers. I mean, it was just a recipe for disaster, wasn't it? But I'm pretty proud that I made Mexico, even though it was with a chamomile tea by myself, lying on my back in the living room. That one will live long in the memory. That's, you know, what World Cups are about. And it's a shame I couldn't have my young boys to watch that one. But it's felt like a long summer for me because I've probably been in first or second gear since kind of playoff weekend. You know, I've just been chilling and enjoying time with my family. And I was delighted to do a little bit of work with you, Matt, on the Chelsea pre-season games and straight back into it at the Devon Derby on Monday night, which was, I think, a good thing, certainly a good thing for the teams and the supporters, because it was a lot more competitive than some of the games across the weekend in the Carabao Cup. And for me, there was no kind of half-heartedness. It was straight back into like a proper football match, which was nice for me to be a part of.
Yeah, so the Carabao Cup has kicked this season off. We're going to start our preview/predictions in the Championship. Before I do that, though, let me tell you that our partners Quinbet have an offer where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least 1 bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. You will find a link to that offer in the show notes. All right then, let's head into the Championship. Where new for this season, the playoffs are expanded to include the teams finishing 7th and 8th. It means the playoffs will start with eliminator ties between the sides finishing 5th and 8th and 6th and 7th, their single leg games. Winners of those two face the sides who finish 3rd and 4th in two-legged semi-finals, and the third place team faces the lowest ranked team remaining in the semis. So into the Championship we welcome West Ham, Burnley and Wolves from the Premier League, and Lincoln, Cardiff and Bolton from League One. Let's see how many of those teams feature in our boys' predictions. And just to let you know, chaps, I'm going to be writing down who says what, and we will revisit this at the end of the season. We are going to start with the winner of the league. Our friends Quinbet have West Ham as the favourites at 7-4, Wolves 11-2, Middlesbrough 10-1. Who have you got, Clarky?
To win it?
Yeah.
It's got to be the Irons. West Ham United, they're going to win the league. I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to win it quite comfortably. The moment I decided that would happen was when Jarrod Bowen said he'd stay. Now, of course, between now and the end of the window, someone might offer silly money and his father-in-law might give him permission to move. But I doubt that'll happen. And if it doesn't, then why should anyone else leave West Ham? If Jarrod Bowen is staying, no one else in that dressing room can go around and really demand a move, particularly, can they? I know that Diouf might go. Don't think that's the end of the world. I think with Castellanos and Bowen and now Manuel Solomon, they've got the firepower. We know that Nuno Espirito Santo is a good organiser. His teams don't ship lots of goals. That, for me, is a good combination. And yeah, I think they could actually cruise to the title. So yeah, come on, you Irons.
All right. Well, Nuno can be a bit prickly, can't he? He's used to playing without the ball as well. They've sold a bunch of season tickets, haven't they? You're looking at 45,000, I think. So maybe they'll get up to 60,000 capacity for their home game. Sam, are you making it 2 from 2 for West Ham?
Yeah, I promise it's going to get more exciting from here on in. But yeah, I'd agree. I just think the quality within the squad has to count for something. The names that they're being linked with as well, that's going to, you know, continue to gather momentum. They're going to add to the squad because they've got the financial power to do so.
Sold really well, haven't they, actually?
Yeah, yeah. And you only lost a couple as well. I'm with Clarkey. I think Castellanos gets bundles if he sticks around. The likes of Dizazi, Sorba Thomas, I saw linked in the last kind of 24 hours, 48 hours. Troy Parrott, another one. You know, guys that you would expect to come in and be top level championship players. The one question mark would be obviously the style of play. And we got a little glimpse of that at the weekend against Portsmouth, where Portsmouth had the majority of the football. So how is that going to work in the championship when they have the best players, they have the biggest support, certainly at home, and some teams will sit in? Are West Ham going to be okay doing that side of things, probing, moving the ball, breaking down a deep block? Because we know Nuno, when he's had success previously, certainly in latter years in the Premier League, it's given up the ball and being a counter-attacking side. So we shall see how that works. But I just think the calibre of the players, the size of the club, the vociferous nature of them at the London Stadium, that's all going to play a part. It might not start particularly well. There may be a few little bumps in the road as the lads adjust to go into Deepdale and the like. But I think over a longer period, they will get it right. And I think you think back to that Wolves team, they could do a bit of everything. Nuno's Wolves team, they had, you know, if you're playing Connor Cody at 10 and a half in the middle of a three and you've got Ruben Neves, you can take care of the ball and you're not just a fast, direct counter-attacking team.
They were a great team. They were a brilliant team.
They could do a bit of everything with great individuals. So I could see something akin to that happening.
Right. They start at Burnley on Sunday for some claret-on-claret action. Let's stick with you then, Sam. Who's going up with West Ham? I don't need second plus playoff winners. Just two teams who will also get promoted, please.
Okay. I didn't really read the small print here. I'm going to go Middlesbrough. And I'm going to go Middlesbrough because of the... Of course, the season last year, the manager, who I rate really highly, yes, they've lost Hackney, but we spoke about a huge gaping hole at the top end of the pitch, which has been filled by Will Lancashire, which has scored a wonderful goal on his debut in the Carabao Cup. The goalkeeper is top. Vitek, who comes in from Manchester United. There's a new left back as well, which I thought was a bit of a deficiency. So I will go for them, whether it's automatic or via the playoffs, I won't answer. But I think you have to take a little bit of a lead from what Coventry did last year, similar path. I think Middlesbrough were actually probably better ready for the Premier League than Coventry were when they lost in the playoffs, if you remember, because Middlesbrough were there for the whole season. Let's not forget we had a three-pronged race for automatic promotion, which became four actually when Millwall came into it during the Easter period or around about then. So yeah, I think Middlesbrough are ready, and I'll go ahead and give you my kind of curveball, but I'll go for Norwich just because I loved watching them last year. Clarkey has gone off screen, so he could be...
I reckon he's gone Middlesbrough and Norwich.
Not got exactly Middlesbrough and Norwich. It's fine. We can just move on. Yeah, go for it.
I just think, like, I won't talk too much, but I don't know where I've been doing my reading because some reports conflict, but I think Norwich were the best side in terms of points tally in 2026. Certainly there or thereabouts anyway. So Philippe Clement has been incredible. I suppose McCarmer still been injured, and Ahmed getting injured in the late weeks of pre-season is a bit of a concern, but Touré scored loads. The squad's good. The manager's top, and they finished the season like a train. So I'll go for them, courtesy of either automatic or at Wembley.
Yeah, it's crazy that we both come from the same three.
Uncertainty around Burnley and Wolves, I think important to say right now as we sit here today, because they could be great, couldn't they?
Yeah, well, I think Wolves, you look at Wolves' team and you think, oh, it's not that different to the Premier League. So they've got a chance. We don't know how they'll react to Pesciotto, the manager, Nicky Hayne, and the same at Burnley. Southampton, there's an asterisk because Tondorica, you know, what's going on there, what's going to happen. Birmingham and Wrexham, obviously you have to consider them because of their ambition, but yeah, I just think Norwich because of the momentum, Middlesbrough because of the coaching, and I think they're just very, very well coached. So yeah, I can't believe we've gone the same three. It's mental.
Yeah, Southampton, remember, starting on that -4 points, as well as the uncertainty over their manager's future, so we shall see there. In terms of relegation, interesting, Quimbet have got the three promoted teams as the three favourites to go straight back down. Lincoln 8 to 11, Bolton 11 to 10, Cardiff 5 to 4. I'm not going to do any predictions generally, but what I will say is I saw Blackburn in pre-season play Forest and I thought they looked very relegation-y at that particular stage. Adrian, do they feature in your three?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, look, Tony Mowbray going back is a nice story. But I saw quite a bit of Blackburn last year and they weren't very good. Every time I watched them, they were very meh, really. And I don't think they've done very much business at all this summer. And it feels like they're sort of sleepwalking into a potential relegation. So I'm locking in Blackburn. I will put Bolton in there. I think Lincoln have got it within themselves to survive. I know that Skubala has gone and it's a bit weird going with Cohen and Shaw as sort of dual managers, but they were such a good team, so together, and they've got such a good momentum and spirit that I think that they can eke out enough points. I'm going to go with Bolton to join their sort of near neighbours Blackburn in the bottom three. I don't see any stunning moves. I know this is just signed Ryan Hardy from Wrexham, but yeah, Bolton I think might struggle. And then my third one is Watford. I just feel that sooner or later it's going to catch up with Watford, and they're gradually getting worse and worse, aren't they? Year on year, at least it feels that way. Alessio Dionisi, I don't know. I mean, does anyone? I'm not quite sure how that's going to go. How long will he last? Are the owners really putting the money in that they used to? The players they've signed could be fantastic, but you know, a lot of them, you know, we don't have much experience in English football. I just feel like Watford are on a bit of a spiral, and it wouldn't shock me if they were dragged into a relegation battle this season. So yeah, Blackburn, Bolton and Watford, sorry to all the fans of those clubs that are listening.
All right, not great for the Northwest or Hertfordshire then. Sam, presumably you've just gone Blackburn, Bolton and Watford, have you?
I mean, there's some derbies to look forward to, isn't there, in the Northwest? Good grief, this year, that's going to keep the authorities on their toes. With all those clubs that Clarkie just mentioned. And the other one, Preston, I'm going to throw in. Not to finish bottom of the pile, but it's a bit of a toss of the coin as we sit here today between them and Blackburn. Three wins in the final 15. A lot of doom and gloom around Deepdale. And yeah, they were in League One, weren't they? Maybe, a decade or so ago. I remember that Jermaine Beckford hat-trick to get them promoted at Wembley against my former club, Swindon. So stranger things have happened. I really rate Paul Heckenbottom, but I just think there's been a bit of a dark cloud over there. So maybe I'll just go for them. I will say Lincoln at this juncture. Sorry to my old man, Lincoln-born. Any Lincoln fans joining the podcast this season. So I've got a soft spot for the Imps. But yeah, I probably agree with Darren McAntony, who I heard on the radio saying he wasn't sure about the old dual managers. But I'm led to believe they spoke really well, actually, when I heard them. And I'm led to believe they did an awful lot of the work on the training ground. So it's going to be interesting, not only what they look like this season in terms of the style, but also what Skubala.
What if they disagree? Over anything? You know, subs, team selection, tactics. I mean, that's the issue, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. But don't know the two individuals involved, but it would seem more straightforward to have a number one and a number two. I mean, you could have aligned the salaries, couldn't you, if you like, or whatever, but just give them one a different title and a little bit more authority with the players and probably also with the media and so on and so forth. But yeah, I think that's going to be interesting. You know, Chris Cohen was a lovely footballer, wasn't he, Matt? You'll have known him well. Is he going to want to, you know, continue with a really successful style of play? No nonsense, very aggressive, very direct.
Unfailingly polite, Chris Cohen. I've worked with him before and he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. How that translates to being a joint manager, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, and the other chap sure sounded like really good fun and head screwed on when I heard them speaking as well. So yeah, I'm doing them down already, but I think they could start fast, but it's just whether you can maintain when people have got to grips with, you know, how you're setting up. And I would agree with Clarkie, with Bolton right now. Again, you know, Ryan Hardy's coming in the last 24 hours and they'll make moves having lost Burstow and Cozy Adubri and the like. So that team in League One's been broken up to a degree, so they'll have to add to the squad. But yeah, Schumacher's clearly a really good coach, attacking coach. His teams are great to watch, but it's whether they can be savvy enough defensively, I think, to churn out a few 1-0s away from home when you desperately need the points. So they would be my three right now, probably with, you know, seasons where Pompey and Charlton, to name two, are looking over their shoulders as well.
Okay, so that's Preston, Lincoln and Bolton for Sam, Blackburn, Bolton and Watford. For Adrian, we'll go one word answers on these next categories and then we'll do a bit more general championship chat. So who's going to finish, Adrian, exactly mid-table in 12th position?
Well, I think they're going to finish one lower than they did last year. And I'm going to go, well, for the last two seasons where they finished 11th, and I'm going to go for Swansea City. I think they're good, but not great. And they're certainly not bad. Not bad enough to go down.
Sam?
You made this easy for me, Clarkie. I should say Bristol City, but I'm not going to be that one-dimensional. And like, they've signed the two best strikers in League One. So
yeah, yeah. You know,
transfer business after my own heart. I will go for Super Hoops. QPR. And I think that would probably be exceeding.
You'll be lucky. Pre-season. This is my reaction to that. Yeah.
You'll be lucky, lad.
And if you are a new listener, this is how we do one word answers, by the way. Sack the manager first. I mean, this is always a hotly contested one, isn't it? Who have you gone for, Sam?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I absolutely know who Clark is going for, by the way. Let's see if you've got the same.
He's had so much, love over the years. I'm really sorry. Mark Robbins.
Ooh.
Ooh, like that. Yeah. Not for Mark Robbins, but yeah, I mean, that is a club in a funk if ever there was one. Stoke City. And
well, big outlay as well. Laid down a few quid, haven't they? So they got to hit the ground running.
Okay, yeah. Adrian?
The Sam's mate, John Eustace.
No Don't, way.
Yeah, I'm going for it because...
Local knowledge, you're going to put out here, aren't you?
Well, maybe. I don't think I'm going to go there. but I don't think he's been that happy in pre-season.
Waiting for a takeover that never came.
I think there's frustration.
You see, he's always got a grimace on, John. He's up blue man. Stern exterior.
Bobbins against Lincoln in the League Cup. And I think he's in a bit of a grump. And if there's an argument behind the scenes, it could all kick off and he might go. It might not be result related, but it wouldn't shock me if they parted ways.
Okay. I thought just certain you were going to say Chris Davis there, so thank you for surprising me. I mean, this is a tap in for both of you. Adrian, you can go first. Who's going to have the most managers in the season and why is it Watford?
It's definitely Watford. Yeah, there's no explanation necessary.
Same for you, Sam?
I've got a few others scribbled down.
Okay.
Yeah, got Tom Dereckart, Southampton, you know, if he, you know, City Abba's there, maybe get another manager, doesn't go to plan. I've got Burnley written down as well. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Burnley. Yeah, I'm not feeling optimistic about them.
But Watford's the answer.
Okay, yeah, of course it is. Who's going to keep their manager for the full season though, Sam?
Do you know what? This was the hardest of the lot, I think. And that sums it up, doesn't it? The championship. I had used to hear. I didn't have that intel from Clarkie. you know what? Philippe Clement could be top of the league, couldn't he? And he could get taken by a leading European light. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's why I'm staying off that. I'm going to go Alex Neil.
Solid.
How's that?
Absolutely terrifying. Alex Neil. Why not? Adrian?
I was going to go Phil Parkinson because he's just always there. But maybe this is the year. Welcome to Wrexham.
See, I was thinking maybe this is the year he'll be the first manager sacked. But perhaps
it could be the year for a plot twist, couldn't it? Where they jazz it up a little bit. I just think Clement and will stay. Hilberg is the one maybe that might get poached. I think he's a climber. He's definitely going to the Premier League, whether it's with Borough or not. So that's the only reason I'd steer clear of him.
Top goal scorer. Now, Sam, there's somebody you've been raving about on our group chat. I wonder if you're going to be so bold as to name him and say that is your pick now.
No, he's not going to see my pick.
he told us to back this guy as well.
I think Jimmy J. Morgan at West Brom, having seen his debut and watched a lot of the pre-season highlights where he's basically bagged in every game. He's been smacking them in, and the fella does not pass. So we're going to see Hegeba in the middle of opposition's 18-yard box, absolutely baffled in bewilderment as to why he hasn't been squared the ball on copious occasions, because he shoots for on-site, this boy. But he gets in between the posts. He's full of confidence. He's a good each-way bet, and I think Quinn bet have actually got him. So we need to get that up before he goes and shortens. However, I do my thought process again. I like Touré at Norwich. Obviously, a lot of goals in a short space of time. Adam Armstrong, Wolves, proven. But I'll go with what we said at the top of the show today, Castellanos, to maybe be in the 20s, and that'd be enough.
Okay, he is 10-1 with Quinn bet. The favourite is Jarrod Bowen at 5-1. Who have you got, Clarkie?
Castellanos. Yeah, I think he's going to score bundles. Yeah, I was really impressed with him in the Premier League. I thought he did great. Real handful, could score different types of goals. Bowen will get loads, I'm sure. I think that both of them could get 20+, really. Norwich, by the way, with Touré. But I do like Makama. Like, I think that once he's fit, and I don't think he's going to be out long, Sam. I think he'll be back by the end of August, early September, Jovan Makama. You look at his goal record and the amount of chances he gets and his finishing ability, I think he's an outside sort of each-way shot as well.
Okay. Jimmy J. Morgan is 50-1 Quinn bet at the moment. Some quick-fire questions. I tell you what, Adrian, just take any of these that you fancy and I'll ask Sam the same. The categories I'd got for who signed well, who's got work to do in the market, who will benefit most from 8th place getting in the playoffs, and then maybe just something totally random that might happen in the
I think who'll benefit most is Birmingham. I look at Birmingham, I think they're going to be better on the road this season. They're going to be solid. I don't think they're going to be particularly exciting, but they are spending money. They will spend more money. They are tough to beat. I think they'll be tougher to beat this season. And I just don't think they'll settle for mediocrity. So I think that Birmingham, even though they, you know, I wouldn't have them near the top two particularly, I think that they can absolutely get into the top eight. And once you're in the top eight, anything can happen. So yeah, that's one I'd definitely pick out.
I think a totally random thing that is going to happen in the Championship, probably not that random, but I think that Swansea will finish the highest of the three Welsh clubs in the league this year. I think they might do a little bit better than Wrexham. Sorry. Okay. Let's see.
I've got December the 5th penciled in, Charlton against Birmingham, Nathan Jones to over-celebrate a goal, and for Chris Davis to absolutely lose the plot and bring out his inner psycho, and for them to have a shoving match on the sidelines. I can see it happening.
Okay, I'm going to note that down. Chris Davis v Nathan Jones without his fingernails. We shall see on that one. All right, let's head into League One next. Well, we say hello to two big animals in a metaphorically smaller pond as the Owls and the Foxes of Sheffield Wednesday and Leicester City join Oxford in dropping down. Bromley, MK Dons, Cambridge and Notts County join the third tier. In terms of the winner, Quinn Bet have Leicester at 9-4, Sheffield Wednesday at 6-1 and Luton at 7-1. You got anybody else as your pick, Sam?
But the winners? No, I would, again, following the chain of thought for West Ham, I'd go for Leicester. I suppose a lot of it is how they're going to get on with Russell Martin. If you think back to that title winning success under Enzo Maresca, and there was a lot of discourse, wasn't there, about the style of football.
It would be like that again.
Yeah, I've already heard quite a bit on various radio stations and what have you about the style of play that they're going to be getting from Russell Martin. But, you know, good calibre of players. Obviously, they've dipped into kind of League One or top kind of Championship players from the last few seasons that are going to be playing in the third tier, the likes of Wes Burns. Liam Cullen was an interesting pickup from Swansea. Obviously, he would have worked with Russell Martin before. I think someone like Suter, if he sticks around for the season, he's going to be far too good for the division. And I think me and Clarkie spoke back in the last year about, you know, five or six of the young boys, very good young players that have come through the academy. So they'll get more game time this season as well. So I'd have them right there now. I don't see anyone else really. Sheffield Wednesday putting together a competitive squad, but they've been used to losing every week. I think that's difficult to just switch on under the same manager and all of a sudden become a huge force, albeit in the lower division. So yeah, I think they'll be, you know, definitely top six, top eight, but there's a couple others that I fancy maybe over them for promotion, which I'll come on to when I'm asked.
Okay. Sheffield Wednesday have made some interesting signings. Obviously, Barry Bannon's gone back there. Louis Barry as well. We know all about him. And Burstow in on loan. Are you tipping them, Clark? Are you going Leicester as well?
I'm tipping Leicester for the title. Yeah, I think that they've bought well. They've bought some really good players, players that are probably too good for League One. I know there are a lot of Russell Martin haters out there, but I'm not one of them. I like the brand of football. I think I liked watching this Southampton team that got promoted from the Championship. And I think the players will really like working with him. I think he's a nice guy and they'll like the football. So, as Sam said, if they keep the players he mentioned, I think they'll be all right. So, yeah, Leicester to win it. I'll roll on to the promoted. I think Luton can go up as well. I think there was real momentum with Jack Wilshere, won a trophy at the end of last season, didn't they, the EFL trophy. I think Casey Palmer coming in, good signings. George Johnson from Bolton, Harrison Ashby has had some good loans, Callum Marshall as well from West Ham. I think there's a bit of wind behind Luton Town at the moment, and this might be their time to come straight back up. I think you've got to consider Sheffield Wednesday, but I'll go with Huddersfield, who have the ambition. We know that. We know they've got big ambition and it's been a bit of a mess there. But the guy that they've got in Martin Drury is good. And I interviewed him a couple of years ago when he was at Valencia as number two to Carlos Corberan. And I was really impressed with him. I think, you know, he speaks very well. I know he's in the coaching world. He's very highly regarded, Martin Drury. And I know he didn't work out with Lee Grant, who was equally, you know, tipped up. But maybe this time around, it will happen for Huddersfield Town.
Okay, so Clarkie's got Leicester as champs, Luton and Huddersfield going up. Sam, are you going to deviate at all from those latter selections?
He's left that open for me, hasn't he? Yeah, I'm going to say Luton first off. Yeah, obviously finished the season really well and he just missed out. Callum Marshall's an interesting pickup. We've kind of been waiting for him, having heard so much coming through at West Ham, and his initial loans weren't brilliant, but I think that could be, you know, a good move. The midfield's incredibly strong. You think of the way Casey Palmer finished last season. He could be a real game changer in a division. I've been impressed with Jack Wilshere when I've been over there. And I think there was a feeling, you know, amongst the club's hierarchy that it might take a little bit of time because of the turnover of players and because of the hurt of the double relegation, which I thought lingered well into last season as well. So I'd have them there. Two others. I'll start with Argyle because I saw them the other night. Yeah. I think a bit of work to do in the transfer market. They've obviously lost, you could argue, the best player in the division in Tulai. Pepple's going to get loads of goals if he stays fit. Evan had a decent debut as well. I think they're one or two short maybe in midfield. That if they're going to play a 4-4-2, they've had an injury to Beidou to contend with, who had a great pre-season having been off in Qatar, I think, last year. But he's injured long term, so they might need to bring a little bit more creativity into the squad. But I think they'll be definitely in the playoff picture. However, I will go for back-to-back, Paul Warne, MK Dons.
Knows that already done.
A couple of really eye-catching signings. Yeah. Barlasser, obviously Adam at Rotherham, Ryan Wintle from Cardiff, and Nombe. I think, I'm not sure if Paul Warne had Nombe at Rotherham, but he's a lad who came through at MK Dons. So he's had a really good time, despite it being tough at Rotherham across the last couple of seasons. So he's got all that experience, Paul Warne, in terms of his squad from last year, adding really strongly. Yeah, I think they could be a difficult proposition.
Yeah.
Okay, don't mind that. Relegation-wise, Quimbet, I've got AFC Wimbledon and Bromley at 11 to 10 to go down, and Burton, or Terry, as Sam insists on calling them, at 11 to 8. What say you, Adrian?
I'll give you the four. I'm going to go for Peterborough. Getting rid of a lot of good players. Not signing that many. I think they weren't very good for much of last season. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know what's going on there. It's not as good as it used to be, basically. So I'm going to go with Posh. I think Burton might catch up with him this time round. I'm going to give it Donny. Has Grant McCann sort of been there maybe too long now? You know, they flirted with it a bit last year. Finished strongly, but yeah, I'm not convinced. Obviously, they've lost Luke Molyneux, who I think is a terrific player there. So I think they might struggle. And then I'll go with Bromley, reluctantly, because they've done so well to get to this point. But you do wonder. And look, there is talk of a sort of takeover or some investment, isn't there, from Victor Anachebe and his sort of consortium. But yeah, I just think maybe they might have reached a level there, Bromley. So I'll include them in the four. Sorry.
Let's hope that if he does take over. He tweets, can you put something like, I've just bought a stake in Bromley to match that fantastic output from all those years ago. Right, Sam, I reckon you've got Burton plus three others.
Just because I call him Terry.
Mm.
Yeah, they're there. I've also got Donny. I think Barnsley might, they're not in my four Barnsley, but in terms of Yorkshire outfits.
Stendhal back, but not, not reproducing.
Yeah, and you know, it's easy to forget how good that squad was that he had last time. So whether they'll be able to replicate it after a few indifferent seasons, I think the mood's not been great there. So I think they could struggle. You know, AFC Wimbledon as well, you know, survival is big success there. I think Stockley could be a game changer for them. So Burton, Donny, in no particular order. Knotts, I didn't think I would be saying, but I am going to say them.
Very odd transfer business.
Yeah, the way they've signed, Jatta's no longer there. I think speculation over Jody Jones in the last couple of days as well, which you just think, you know, he's had that game at Wembley, cloud nine.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Go to the next level, supporters fully on your side, but you know, ultimately it comes down to wages quite often. It comes down to opportunity elsewhere. So if he moved on, that would be a bit of a surprise. And sorry, Clarkey, one of many. The old U's, Cambridge United. Are they U's? Is that Colchester? Colchester are certainly U's. Can Cambridge be U's as well? Sorry,
yeah,
Chopper.
They can be. They can
sorry,
be.
Cambridge.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with Cambridge?
I just think there was a little bit of an anticlimax, wasn't it? The way they got up last year, but I don't know, maybe that's still a little bit fresh in the mind. The way they finished the season, and I just think it's always a struggle going up to League One, but they've certainly got the manager at the helm and Mark Bonner, who I think we've collectively been very positive about since those two have been in tandem. I just think, you know, Posh, AFC Wimbledon, Barnsley, Cambridge, it's probably one of those guys that are going to go through the back door.
Can I just...
Trap door.
Can I just apologise to the very lovely Notts County fan that I met at Trent Bridge, who was sat right in front of me. I can't remember his name, sorry. But yeah, he heard me talking to my brother as we were watching England the day Ben Stokes retired. And he turned around and said, you're from one of my favourite podcasts. What, the EFL, blah, blah, blah. And he was a regular listener, weekly listener. So we had a little natter and he's a big Notts County fan. So apologies for Sam's early season.
Oh, do you know what? I got a little bit of hate after the playoff final as well. Yeah. I mean, they won 4-0. So I can't have been too scathing.
A sensitive bunch. It's not easy playing second fiddle to the other club.
You said it.
City.
You said it.
I think it's bad to say. Just check Wikipedia, by the way. Cambridge's nickname is the U's. So Wikipedia's never been wrong before.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, I've got no real affection for the U's, I've got to say. Sam kind of consistently gets that wrong about me. It's Ipswich Town. Cambridge is the nearest team to where I grew up. But there's no major affection there, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, let's let them get relegated then. Who's going to sack their manager first in League One, Adrian?
Donny, yeah, Grant McCann.
Poor old Grant McCann. Same for you, Sam.
I'd love you to see this patch of paper that I've got all the quickfire answers written down on, which I'm just about making out. I have gone for, I've got two down there, Mr. Wendell's there, but I'm going to go for Liam Richardson at Reading.
Okay, you've been slightly sceptical about him in the past, so that
no. Chimes. Do you know what? I enjoyed my visits there last year, and I think I a large dose of humble pie the first time I saw his Reading outfit because they played some really fine stuff. But I just don't think that the feeling amongst the supporters is aligned with the kind of expectation of that club, if that makes sense. They expect quite a lot to be challenging, and I'm not sure they're fully on board with the gaffer right now.
Mm. Okay. What about the top goal scorer in League One? Abrim Pepple and Louis Barry and Jack Marriott are the three front runners as far as Quimbet are concerned. What about you, Adrian?
Boy, Pepple from Plymouth, Sam mentioned him earlier. I mean, his goal record is nuts. And I do think Plymouth will have a really good season. With Talai obviously moving on to Bristol City, it sort of opens the door for him to be the main man. And yeah, I rate Cleverley. I think Plymouth will do all right. And Pepple just seems like he's got it when it comes to being a bit of a goal muncher. So yeah, I fancy him.
Bit of Pepple in the stepple of Plymouth, you might say. What do you reckon, Sam?
Well, they've not been mentioned, which is a rarity, I think, across the last few seasons. But I'm going to go for Stockport, not Carl Wootton, Sidibe. Centre-forward who, remember, that was one of the defining moments of that playoff final. He'd scored, he'd got in a few other times and he was sacrificed on about the hour. And so with it, Stockport's hopes are getting promoted. So I think he'll get plenty this year.
All right. They are both available at 20-1, Siderby and Wharton for Stockport, who are, of course, under new management this season. Okay, let's finish off, shall we, by going into League Two. And here we find new tenants in York City and Rochdale up from the National League, and Exeter, Port Vale, Rotherham and Northampton, who dropped down from League One. Our sponsors, Quimbet, have Salford as the 4-1 favourites. You can get 8-1 on Bristol Rovers to win the division, or 9-1 on Barnet. I'm sick of tipping Salford to get promoted, Adrian, so I'm going to stay well clear of that. What about you?
Right. You can't back Salford at 4-1. That's too short, I think. They're not worthy of being that.
But thanks to Quimbet for their continued sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they do a great job. They've got some great, you know...
Quick, you to one on Jimmy J. Morgan. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
But one of the only few to give me a price on Jimmy J. Morgan right along the update, just because I was, you know, shouting my mouth off.
Yeah. Look, the price is dictated by who puts money on, right? And obviously, a lot of people are getting behind Salford. And I think this could be the year. But obviously, it's a bit of a risk with new manager, Peter Klemowski. But I think people are just looking at who they've signed. Obviously, Luke Molyneux is a big one. Macaulay Langstaff is huge. You know, Will Norris, Will Ameson. You know, so we've got some really good players that have come in. So I think I found them to get promoted, but maybe not to win the title. I've actually got a bit of a left field one. I'm going to go for Port Vale. It feels like there's a bit of money there. John Brady is a good manager. I think he knows what he's doing. You just look at a few of the names that have sort of joined this summer and you think, yeah, they're not bad at all. Carl Dempsey from Bolton, Anil Hernandez, obviously formerly of Norwich, Mo Farl, formerly of Wrexham, Max Waters, Lewis Monsma. There's loads of them. And I just think that freshen up. And they did remember finish quite well last season. They were a complete write-off, and then they did improve when Brady got there. So yeah, I just got a little feeling for Vale. Very quickly, I'll go for Barnet and Oldham to join Salford City as the other three to go up. I think Oldham have signed well, and maybe Barnet, Dean Brennan, that whole sort of continuity, they're just getting there bit brick by brick. I think that maybe this might be the year.
Okay, so Salford up, but not as champions. Sam, give me your champs and your promoted sides then, please.
I think I've got three different sides here, which has been a rarity this afternoon. I'm going to go for Bristol Rovers to win the league. Steve Evans didn't go his way at Rotherham. There'll be that motivation to get another promotion on the board, and the back end of last season was just terrific. Incredible run to finish the campaign. They've added some strong players, as you would expect, in the window. Tom James, Ben Purrington, quality of Kamwa, who had that great tail end to the season at Newport. Smallwood obviously dictating things in the middle of midfield, and loads of options in attack. So yeah, I'm going to go for Bristol Rovers, who I'm seeing on Saturday.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout. Yeah, it is good. I just Steve Evans, can't get behind him.
And yeah, I mean, they're playing York at the weekend. He probably would have been there or thereabouts, wouldn't they, if they hadn't have had this uncertainty or this upset, obviously, of losing Stuart Maynard and a little bit of infighting already at the club. So I've got Salford, and probably a little bit of recency bias, I'll go for Grimsby, third automatic, and maybe Chesterfield to get it right after their playoff heartbreak.
He's never won a game in the playoffs, has he? Paul Cook.
Yeah, maybe Cookie will get replaced. And maybe someone will lead them on a drive to promotion. Yeah, I did forget about that, but surely it's his time. Other way around then. Yeah. Grimsby playoffs, Chesterfield automatic. Well done, Cookie.
Okay, we'll see if he comes up in first manager to be sacked there. But let's do relegation first. According to Quimbet, the two favourites in Newport at 2-1 and Cheltenham at 3-1. Who have you got, Adrian?
I haven't got Cheltenham. I think Steve Cottrell can nose his way around, and he's actually brought in some pretty good players. So now I'll give Cheltenham a pass. I think Newport, obviously new manager in Hayden Mullins, don't know what happened there with Christian Fuchs. They've sort of flirted with it a bit, haven't they? And I was quite surprised to see that parting at a way. So I think maybe Newport, you know, small club, might be up against it. There aren't that many obvious contenders actually this year. I think a lot of the clubs in League Two look in okay shape. And with that in mind, I'm going to go with Fleetwood. I feel like it's gradually going downhill year on year for Fleetwood. Not seeing a lot of excitement there. Obviously, they've sort of basically in mid-table the whole of last year. I think if everything feels a little bit flat there. And if they don't start well, they might sleepwalk their way into a bit of a relegation battle. So, yeah, I'm going to go with them.
So it's Fuchs off for Newport and Tommy going down with them, Sam, as far as Adrian's concerned. What about you?
Well, the two teams I've seen so far, Rotherham and Exeter, I think they will get their house in order and they will improve. But, you know, right now I'd say they'd be bottom half.
Yeah.
Be bottom half. I mean, Alex Bruce is putting together a completely new team at Rotherham, which does take time. And I've been there in dressing rooms, League One, League Two, when you're bringing in frees and loans, and it's kind of a complete overhaul. Takes a little bit of time, but I mean, West Brom absolutely schooled them the other day, which you would anticipate, the two divisions between them. And Exeter, especially if Wareham goes, and you get the sense from some of the supporters and people at the club that if it's going to happen, they want it to happen quickly so they can reinvest, you know, some of the money. It won't be all the money because that's not the way Exeter run things. But, you know, to get two or three players off the back of a sale of your main goal getter could kind of solidify them in the table. I think it could be difficult for those sides if it doesn't work out in the transfer market. However, I've got Newport and I've got Accrington Stanley. I just think that it could be difficult for both those two clubs. I think they've done terrifically well to, you know, Newport at times across the last couple of seasons have been well away from trouble, but I just don't know how sustainable it'll be over time before getting dragged in. Always both teams use the non-league market incredibly well, slightly different in terms of the recruitment this summer. They're my two, probably with a hairy time again for Crawley. You just don't know what you're going to get with them, albeit they won their maiden game up at York, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a bit of a roller coaster season as well there.
Maybe they'll come into the next category, which is who's going to sack their manager first. What do you reckon, Adrian?
Gillingham, Gareth Ainsworth. Don't know why. Just wasn't great, was it, last year? I know he was away for a while and then he came back. And, you know, we wish him well because, you know, he's a very popular guy. But they've got big ambitions, Gillingham, but I just don't know if they're going to be particularly strong this year. So I'm going to go for them.
Okay. Have you got Sam?
Yeah, I just Crawley scribbled down. I think it's going to be very difficult for Northampton. So I will go for Chris Hogg, if that's the name plucked from somewhere in my brain, to, yeah, maybe have a really testing first role. He's been Liam Manning's sidekick, hasn't he? So, yeah, that could be a really tricky proposition for him. I'm not suggesting that they're going to panic early part of the season, but maybe someone with a bit more experience coming in to try and safeguard their status. There's a little narrative for you.
Okay, like that. Top scorer is the final League Two prediction. Some classic names of the last couple of years in the running here, according to Quinbet. None more so than Macaulay Langstaff, who's the favourite at 11-4. You have also got Paul Mullen in there at 12-1. Jaden Wareham, the aforementioned, is 9-1. Aaron Drinnen, Sam's mate, 10-1. Who are you going for, Sam?
Need you ask? Drinnen, all day. Get nicked by Salford in January and get another 15 to add to his 12 at Swindon. I quite like, yeah, I'm going for Drinnen, but I quite, obviously Langstaff's the obvious one and he's been smashing them in pre-season. They are all over him at Salford. I've heard the media team going big on a couple of his finishes in the pre-season games. I quite like Cavane, the Swiss centre forward at Bristol Rovers. And he got a really good return in his first season. But Steve Evans only played him, I think, sparingly the last kind of half dozen games of the season. So I don't think he's going to be a starter. And he has been linked to move. So I'm not going to go with a player from the Champions, but I'm going to go for the club that produces the best goal scorers outside the top flight, Aaron Drinnen of Swindon Town.
Very good. Adrian, who have you gone for?
Yeah, boring. Langstaff. Yeah. I just think he'll get bundles.
Yeah. Hopefully get his mojo back. All right, that is our predictions for the season. If you've been with us before, you know we have a little game whereby we do some predictions for the upcoming games for the weekend. So feel free to join in on those. Let us know how you get on. You can find us on X at EFL What The. I've picked the first game of the Championship season as our first pick. It's Wolves against Blackburn. Adrian, you're the reigning defending champion, so you can go first. What's the score going to be?
Champion of the world. Right, yeah, all the best, boys. Yeah, give us a game. This time, please. I'm going to go for Wanderers 2, Blackburn Rovers nil.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. So I'm going to say 3-1 instead. What about you, Sam?
I'll go for a tougher evening. kicking off the championship. I'll go 1-0, late goal, Wolves.
Okay, Adam Armstrong, presumably. How about this for an opening fixture in League One? It is an East Midlands derby that I don't think either team ever thought they were going to play as a league fixture. Notts County against Leicester City. What do you reckon, Sam?
Well, given what I've said, I'm gonna be nicer about Notts County here, and maybe it'd be a tricky first night in League One for Leicester. I'll go for a 1-1 draw for them to rally, big crowd, and to get amongst the Leicester lads.
This is what I hate about this feature. If you don't have first pick, then you are struggling. Go on then, Adrian.
I think Leicester have 80% of the ball, and Notts County don't really get a sniff, and they sort of bore their way to a routine 2-0 win. So yeah, 2-0 to the Foxes.
Okay, I'll go for why not? 1-0 to Notts. Early teething problems for Russell Martin.
This was your problem. You just didn't want to be boring and follow suit, and you just pick a random result.
Well, I wanted 2-0 Wolves, and I wanted 1-1 in this one, so that's my problem. Let's see if I have any luck going first with York City against Bristol Rovers. I think that this one could be fun, and I think it's going to finish 2-2. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough looking on because, you know, Scott Lindsay's obviously taken that job and immediately getting grief. I think it's not really directed at him, isn't it? It's the owner who's obviously changed manager after getting promoted, which is just incredible to think that, you know, there's column inches been written, negative column inches about a side that's back in the EFL when they should be celebrating. I still think it's going to be, you know, a great atmosphere at the weekend, but I just think, given what I've said about Bristol Rovers, I have to back them. So I will go for them maybe to race into a 2-goal lead. Scott Lindsay's York to rally 2-1 Rovers.
Okay, Sam, Adrian rather?
Yeah, this will please you. I had 2-2, so just as you know. But unlike you, I'm going to, you know, stick with my sort of initial thought process and just go for the 1-1. Thanks.
Okay, fair enough. Settle for a draw, as the Arctic Monkeys once sang. Before we go, let me remind you, our partners Quinbet have an offer for you where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply, 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. If you are a long-time listener, you will know that we always like to finish with a tweet of the week. It's where we find something particularly banal from the world of EFL footballers' social media output. And I think that this very much comes in to that category. It comes from Birmingham's Carlos Vicente, and he simply says, a solid team performance, exclamation mark. That kind of thing where you've got your second finger and your little finger poked up emoji, blue circle emoji at BCFC.
What's it mean?
I think it means like cool, great, like that. Yeah, people say cool anymore? Probably not. Anyway,
we used it, but I don't know what it means. I use it myself, you know.
Yeah, well,
to be a bit silly.
I'd imagine Carlos does. He's got a blue tick and everything. Pretty drab stuff, Adrian. I think, as was Teresa's reply, the first one, you had a good game. Things will get even better. KRO. Anything else to say on this one?
Yeah, there's Blues Extras reply, going to cook this season, you beautiful Spanish bastard. Like that. I mean, that's a great reply. But yeah, as tweets go, the only redeeming feature is the whole gesture, even if I don't know what the name is. It's boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Solid team performance. What
was solid about it? I know what you mean, but all I would say is I'd give him some credit, Sam, because Birmingham shortly afterwards tweeted, you just know he's going to be a top player this season, flames emoji, with a graphic which says that he played 89 minutes, had 49 touches, 2 fouls, 1, 9 recoveries, 1 assist and 3 chances created. Now, he hasn't retweeted that himself, and I think he deserves a little bit of credit for that.
Well, I think this goes back to the whole reason as to why we started this feature. He's clearly had a good preseason. He's clearly been on it in this game, and he's just looking for the praise, isn't he? It's the reason it all started way back when. So, not for me. Nice photos. And I went down a rabbit hole the other night, and I think I'm quite across what's going on in the modern game, the size of the shin pads, or the lack of size, just astonished me. Like, it was literally like some of the lads had SIM cards down their socks, and Vicente is very much of that mould. I like it because if I could have got away with it in my day, I hated wearing shin pads. I wanted the lightest footwear on. I wanted to feel like I was a 100-meter sprinter when in reality I was a cart horse. But yeah, so I like it. I like everything about him, but yeah, it's looking for the praise, which of course was forthcoming.
It's a beautiful Spanish bastard, yeah.
Okay, well, look, he helped Birmingham pass Swansea in the Carabao Cup. We'll have another tweet of the week next week. As I say, the plan is to do shows and release them on a Friday for you. So a slight change of date this season. We're going to do our best to stick to that as well. It's a date that works well for all of us and I think works well in terms of covering the EFL as well. If you've enjoyed this show, tell a friend or better still, leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. That's the best way for us to grow the show. We shall be back with another pod next week. For now, though, from Adrian, from Sam, and from me, it's goodbye.